As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Today on the show, we have Amir Salihafendic, who is the founder of Doist. Doist is a productivity app. We're going to be talking to him about what he does every day to stay productive personally, professionally, and with his entire team. Welcome to Rocketship.fm, the podcast where we explore startups from funding to growth, from culture to sales, and everything in between. I'm Michael Saka.
I'm Mike Belsito.
And I'm Joelle Goldman.
I mean, first off, thank you so much for coming on. We're really excited to talk about some productivity with you today.
It's a pleasure being here, Michael. Yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing some tips.
So first, take me through Todoist and what you guys are building there for those that aren't familiar.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it started all as like a personal project of mine. To just improve my own productivity. And like I was a student and I had like a lot of stuff to do and I needed a system. So that's how Todoist got developed. And it was back in 2007. And then fast forward today, like almost 10 years in, we have built a company and we have like millions of users. And a lot of people are working on it right now. And we want to make like the best productivity system out there. And really like, come up with something that the world has not really seen before.
So what was the what were you dealing with that inspired you to start? What was your issue that you were trying to solve?
I mean, I was a student and then I had 2 part-time jobs and I also had like a ton of personal projects I was doing. So I just had like a lot of stuff going on in my life and I couldn't really keep it all in my head. So that's why I kind of like tried to look for a system. And then, you know, in 2007, there was almost nothing on the market. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to develop my own.
And what was your strategy for approaching it? That was different than you said there's not, there weren't many, there are a lot more now. How has your strategy been different towards productivity?
I mean, I think I didn't really look at competitors, actually. Like, I didn't, like, do any deep market research and seeing. I was just, like, I tried some of them out, and then I basically said, okay, I can probably do something that's better than this. And that's basically how it got developed. Like, I didn't really have like a deep insight. I just, you know, wanted a system that kind of worked as how I wanted it to work.
And what did you see was the big failing? Like, when you solved this problem, you were like, I'm onto something here. What were you missing throughout the day that when you solved made you more productive?
I think like the biggest thing is probably like not keeping everything inside your head and just like being in control of your life and where you're spending your time, and then having really a system you can trust. I think that's probably those were like the huge benefits I could foresee.
And so what have you seen that people get wrong about productivity in general when people are trying to pack so much into their day?
I think actually like the biggest problem right now in the world is that most people don't really have a productivity system. Like, they don't really have a system. And even like right now, you know, we have millions of users, but like on a global scale, that's like very, very few people. And even like if you look at our competitors, like nobody has, you know, hundreds of millions of active users. So I think like probably the biggest mistake right now is that most people don't really have a system. And we can also see this like in our data is that people, you know, they want to have a system, but they don't really maintain it. So like, you know, they go in, add some tasks and then forget about it. And then, you know, that system is kind of useless because it has like no up-to-date data.
And so how do you... I mean, how do you solve that? Because I think that's a problem that everyone faces is we get motivated in a moment. We set those tasks and then things, life happens around us. And so how do you see successful people managing that?
I mean, that's a very, very good question, Michael. And I think nobody has really solved this yet. Mm. And we haven't really either. Like, if we had sold this, you know, we would have hundreds of millions of active users and doing this like on a much bigger scale. I think personally, I think it's like also a human like problem. Like, people, you know, it's like the same thing as the gym. Like, the gym and doing sports is very good for you, and everybody knows that, but like not many are doing that. And same with the productivity system. Like, you know that actually you can like reduce your stress, get more things done, you know, be more control of your life, but it requires a lot of work as well. So like, it's easier just not to do it. So I think like some of the stuff that we are trying to do is like game mechanics, such as Todoist Karma, you know, have us like a point system that kind of rates you and gives you feedback. And it's kind of like a game element. And I think that at least like from our users, they love that system because it kind of motivates them a bit. And it's just, you know, it's not about only what you need to do, but also like what have you done and how has your, you know, productivity been in the past.
And so do you feel like productivity is something that you can be worked into a habit? Is that like, is there a time period where you say, hey, I've done something for X long and now it's just part of me and I'm building this system around it?
I can give you some like interesting stats from our users. Like most of most of the users we lose is actually on the first 3 days. Mm. This means, that people fall off very, very quickly from their system. And the thing we also can see is that once people stick with the system for like multiple weeks, then they stay there for like years.
Okay.
So I think it's maybe just like creating a habit and like sticking to it. And like, you know, the first few weeks can be rough, but, you know, you just have to like kind of create it into a habit and, you know, updating the system, maintaining it, and et cetera. Yeah.
Do you have any tips for people in those 2 weeks? Like, those are the crucial time to form new habits. Do you have any tips for people who need to kind of that continual motivation? Is there anything that works for you?
Something that I think is very important is like just planning your day and like listing the stuff that you want to get done, for the day. And what I do personally is like I have like a to-day list that is very important for me, and I maintain it all the time. And then also like I maintain the tomorrow's list as well. Once you become more advanced, you can also maintain like a weekly list. But for me personally, it's just focusing on today and tomorrow and, you know, having a plan of like what kind of stuff do I want to complete, what is really important for me. And I think also like it's very important to be, you know, proactive about your productivity. So you're just not reacting to stuff, but you actually have kind of a plan of, you know, what do you want to achieve? What is important for you? And this can be like both in the personal and work life.
Mm. And what do you do on those days when you get off track? How do you get back on? So you've got the list and it's just not working. Do you have anything that you do to kind of reset?
That's a very good question. I think probably what happens for most people is they basically, you know, just kind of lose track of their plan. This said, like something that I think that I do, for me, like I don't really get off track that often, so it's probably not.
Okay.
I can't really give a good tip there, but I think what I do is like I have my to-do list always with me, and you know, on mobile, in Gmail, on the desktop, on the web, like everywhere, and I can always have like easy access to it. And maybe like that's also something that's very important. It's just like, you know, that your to-do list is like one tap away. So you can like quickly go in and like complete something or add something.
So, and what do you do about procrastination? I think that's one of the universal things that we all face. Are you a procrastinator or are you more of a get it done on time before time type person?
I mean, I'm definitely like getting done. I don't really like do. I don't really go off track that often.
Okay.
And actually, like my biggest tip in this area would be to have like separate computer where you do work and separate computer where you do like Twitter or Facebook or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So for me, like when I'm going into the office, I actually work. Like I don't, you know, mess around. I have done this because before, and you can even like install apps to see like how much, you know, you're like being distracted. And like, if you don't do this, then like it's very easy to go, like you have a hard problem, you go to Facebook or to Twitter or to your email client. So for me, it's just like I have this separation, and maybe that can help some people out.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor. Now back to the show. How do you keep your team productive? You guys are a productivity company. What do you guys do internally to make sure and measure that your team is working in a productive manner and staying on top of your goals and where you guys want to go?
I mean, that's a very good question. And again, I think like we have hit another like problem that's kind of like unsolved right now. Mm. And I think, you know, we are losing so much money and opportunity like in the world by being so unproductive as like, you know, teams and corporations.
Yeah.
Like we are working actively on this, and we want to create a better system. This said, like, I think it's, again, very, very hard to do that. Some tips that I can give we personally use Google's OKR systems. I'm not sure if you know the OKR system.
It's, yeah, absolutely.
And we have found that, like, we are running an experiment for some months now, and it's a very nice system. So that's at least like one tip, like implement the OKR system for your team, because that way, like, everybody knows what their objective is, like what kind of results do they expect from themselves, what kind of results does the company expect from them. That would be one tip. And of course, I think, like, also using tools, a lot of companies are still not using any tools for, like, organizing themselves. Those are the two tips I can think of.
And, with those OKRs, what are you focused on setting company-wide? So, like, can you give me an example of your company-wide OKR?
Onboarding is like currently a huge topic inside our company, because like we lose most of our users in the first day actually.
Okay.
Of the sign up. That's like something, you know, we want to, an objective is like improving that and being better at onboarding people.
Are you guys, are you using any data to inform your company's productivity?
We are actually not. Like, we don't really track hours. We don't really care how much actually people work. And I think, like, one of the things, like, you know, we are very, very free, and a lot of our structure is based, you know, on just people being motivated and liking their job, and not something like, you know, where we are going into like all kinds of data points. I think also like something to note is that great work speaks for itself. I don't really feel that we have like the need to track people.
Mm. So, do you run into situations where you feel that someone isn't kind of working up to their full potential?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's always a problem in a team environment. And I think, you have to provide feedback to people and tell them how they can improve themselves.
And so how do you – tell me a bit about how you've structured or how you've had one of those conversations in the past.
We do one-on-ones, monthly one-on-ones, where it's basically like, a performance review. But it's not like, you know, going into data. It's more like, you know, talking with the person, figuring out like what is blocking them, you know, what has worked, what has not worked, and giving them some tips on how they can improve themselves. As a leader, you can also like get some feedback back. So like people can also tell you, you know, how you can improve yourself. And,
sure.
And some of this is actually really, really useful.
What's the best piece of advice you've gotten from someone who works with you?
That's a very good question. I think probably like one of my problems is I'm actually still developing and I'm like a CEO of the company. Mm. So it's kind of like sometimes I'm kind of like forgetting the, you know, CEO role, and I go into this development mode. So I think that's probably the best tip is, you know, to sometimes, focus more on being the CEO instead of like going into details on design and development.
It's so hard to do because you get into it, right? Because you love the development and the design and the product side. and then we switch roles into being a leader where we have to be more hands off. I think that's one of the biggest challenges we face for founders.
No, definitely. I think, like, you know, I have still not really transitioned out of it, and I'm not sure if I ever will.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about your team. Are you guys remote? What is the makeup of Todoist?
So basically, like, we are one of some of these only companies in the world that like are remote first.
Okay.
So we are like everybody is remote.
So there's no, is there a headquarter office where you guys ever meet, or is all work done 100% remotely?
I mean, we do have like one office in Porto with about seven people, seven people. But like even in Porto, like most of the people are not really in the office every day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't really call it a headquarters, but yeah, we do have like a physical office.
And are there things that you have to do to keep the team, you know, with remote, we lose some of the, I guess, natural camaraderie of all being in the same room. Are there things that you do to keep that alive and kind of keep people motivated to feel connected to the rest of their team?
I mean, currently we do like yearly retreats. Like a few weeks ago, we were actually in Iceland, everybody.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's like, that's like a way to really, meet the other people and know them personally. And yeah, I think retreats are definitely something that I would recommend. And maybe even like if you have an office, like just do a retreat, because, you know, that way people can know each other like more personally than in like an office environment.
Have you noticed the difference after people meet in person with the way that they work together?
Definitely. I think, we don't have any data on it, but I feel like people kind of know each other much better, and it's kind of like much easier to actually request something from a person because you kind of know them better. Even like providing feedback, such as like on one-on-one, it's just like natural because you already know the person so well.
Yeah, that I've noticed that too. Like meeting the team in person, even just changed like the day-to-day interactions on like Slack or, you know, on the tools that we use just to communicate. I felt like I knew a bit more about them. It kind of humanizes the whole situation. I was able to work better with people. I don't know. It seems to relieve some tension when you do that. So yeah, I noticed it too. And I think it's great for remote teams to do that retreat. I think it's so important. However you can get it done, it can be expensive, but I think finding a way to get it done is important.
Definitely. I think like it's very expensive, but you know, we don't really pay for office space.
Right. So, so it goes.
Yeah, so, it's probably less expensive than having like an office in San Francisco or whatever.
You could probably have four retreats for that. Yeah. So what's next for you guys? I know you guys are releasing some tools for businesses now. You originally focused on personal productivity and you're moving into business. Tell me a bit about some of the most recent developments.
I think... I mean, you know, Todoist started like as a personal project, then it got kind of a bit more ambitious, and right now it's like very ambitious.
Okay.
So basically, we want to create like a system that solves, you know, productivity of like the individual, of the team. So that's like one aspect, and that's where Todoist will target, that market. And then we are also doing another tool, which is like a team communication tool. And, we also want to like improve communication inside teams, and especially like for remote teams or teams that don't want to chat all day long. In the end, you know, we want to kind of unify these two systems. So you kind of have like a system that solves every need of like a great, team.
That's awesome. I think the team productivity is so important, and Having a nice, clean tool. I don't think Slack is always the answer. I think sometimes you just need a tool where you can keep your the necessary things you need to get done without always having the bother of a continual chat happening, feeling like you're missing something. I think that can be really good for the productivity, is to use tools that don't encompass all of the team communication so that you're able to shut that down when you really need to concentrate. Is that kind of the methodology you guys are taking?
Yeah, I mean, we are actually like very anti chat, yeah, like anti real time, and anti, you know, like you have to be online all the time.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, in a remote environment, that's very problematic. But even in non-remote environment, I think like right now we have like so many distractions in our lives, and it's actually very hard to focus and do some great work. For me personally, like, I think Slack is probably like one of the worst tools that a team can use.
I don't disagree. I think it's a very challenging thing that we're dealing with now. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Where do we keep up with you? Where do we find Todoist? How do we keep up with what you guys are doing?
I'm actually active on Twitter, so it's like Amix3K. So that's my Twitter handle. And Todoist, you can also follow us on like Twitter or Facebook. So that's pretty much it. And we also have like an awesome blog where we blog mostly about productivity and, you know, I think you should check that out as well.
Yeah, we'll link to all those in the show notes too. So anyone interested, go to our site and we'll have all of that linked. So thank you so much. I really appreciate your time here today.
You're very welcome, Michael.
Big thanks to Amir for coming on today. You can go to todoist.com and use the code ROCKETSHIP to get 5 free premium accounts for 1 year. That's $194 value. So go and take advantage of that. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Bench. Bench is the easiest way to get your bookkeeping done. Go to bench.co/rocketship and get 20% off your first 6 months. So if you want to keep up, subscribe, leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at RocketShipFM. You can follow me at Michael Sacca, at Joel, at Joel Goldman, and Mike Belcito at Belcito. And we'll see you here this Thursday with the second episode in our productivity series.